if I insist on living my life, I cannot live Christ's.
In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
Life begins when I will to do his will. I am crucified with Christ. Now it's Paul who wrote the joy epistle, isn't it? And he wrote it while he was chained in prison, and he said, "It is my joy to suffer for you." And there's another one of those incomprehensible paradoxes that Christians have to stand on their heads in order to see things right, and the world just washes its hands of us and says, "You're crazy." Last night I was talking down at LaBrie on the subject of missions, and of course there were the questions of, how do I explain my desire to be a foreign missionary to my non-Christian friends or my non-Christian relatives? I said, "I don't think you can. Any more than I could explain the motivation that sent my husband and four other missionaries into savage territory to take the gospel." Reporters came to us and said, "Why did they do it?" And I said, "I'll give you the answer, but it will not make any sense to you. Christians are people whose lives don't make any sense, except in terms of another world." Now, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, this is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, "We have this treasure, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This treasure we have in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." And I liked Philip's translation, "knocked down, but not knocked out." "We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body." The power of the life of Jesus in these bodies of ours. I'm nothing but a clay pot. I suffer all kinds of trouble, Paul says. Every day we experience something of the death of Jesus. We are exposed to death in order that the life of Jesus may be plainly seen. The crucified life is the free life, the joy-filled life, the peaceful life, the only life of rest. I read you that letter from the woman who said that she'd been in a miserable marriage, she had a handicapped child, and she said, "It is this teaching that has given me joy and freedom." Now, I've been listening for the last couple of days to a tape that somebody sent me. As I listened to this tape, there was a dagger in my heart, because it was on the subject of submission in wives. Has anybody here ever heard me talk about that subject? When I heard this tape, I thought, I don't know what I've been talking about, because I haven't gotten to first base on what this means. And this talk was given by a man. What man nowadays would have the guts to stand up and talk to a mixed audience about submission? I thought, there's been so much talk coming out of my mouth and so little understanding of what this really means. And because I was preparing these talks for today, while I was also listening to this tape, not simultaneously, I listen to the tape when I'm fixing lunch for Lars in the kitchen. You know, it's the thing that God is putting his finger on in my own life that is going to have to come out in the talks. And no matter what subject I think I should talk about, there will be a test immediately as I'm preparing that talk. God is saying to me, "What about you? You know, are you pointing the finger at all those people? Here you are dishing it out on the radio every day, writing books about it, getting up there and talking about it. What do you know about it? So little understanding and so little obedience." Well, he emphasized the word reverence. because it says in Ephesians 5 that a woman, a wife, is to reverence her husband. Now, I've thought about I am to submit to Lars as to the Lord. Lars is my head. Lars holds an office which he didn't earn or deserve, but which was assigned to him by God. I am to submit to him. But as for reverencing him, honor, respect, love, awe, solemn wonder, that's what reverence means. As for a holy being or exalted thing, I am to have the solemn awe as for a holy being, an exalted thing, for this human, sinful, fallible man whose bed I share, as to the Lord. And this man suggested, he said, put the Lord in your husband's chair. When your husband comes home from work at night, he sits down in his favorite chair. Well, this time you come in and it's the Lord sitting in the chair. And the Lord looks at you and says, may I have a cup of tea, please? And you say, oh, it's the Lord. I'll be glad to get you a cup of tea, Lord. What kind would you like? What do you take in it? And you've never fixed a better cup of tea in your life. And you bring it to him with reverence, and you give it to him. And he drinks the tea, and he thanks you. And then he says, now, I have to make an errand. Is supper ready? Yes, supper is ready. Would you mind keeping supper hot for me for half an hour while I go out and see this other person? Oh, yes, Lord, that would be fine. Oh, that's no trouble at all. I'll be glad to keep the supper hot. Put him in the chair. Now try this on your husband. Now he said, if you treated your husband like that, to reverence means to pay attention, to use your imagination to make him comfortable, to anticipate his needs, to rearrange your plans, to treat him like a king, to listen to what he says. Are you the one that does all the talking? Are you the one that does all the talking when you go out? My husband and I, we sit in restaurants, and I say, you can always pick out the married people because the woman is doing the talking. If you see a man talking and a woman sitting there looking at him raptured, they're either having an affair or this is their first date. But it's tragic. Praise him. This is part of what it means. Now, the man who was preaching there, he said, I don't deserve this kind of treatment. Any man knows he doesn't deserve this kind of treatment. You don't give it to him because he deserves it. You are to submit to him as to the Lord. You are to reverence him as you reverence the Lord. And he said, what do you think is going to be the response of that man? Is he going to grind you under his heel? Is he going to get worse than he already is? Or is he going to get better? Behind every great man, there is a hidden woman. That was this man's point. We need to be hidden women. Now, I cannot do that in myself. None of that comes naturally. I am crucified with Christ. Myself has got to go. Now, try the opposites of what reverence means. Don't pay any attention when your husband talks. Don't try to use your imagination to make him comfortable. He can get himself comfortable. Don't anticipate his needs. He can make a cup of tea just as well as you can. Let him do his own. And after all, you've been working all day. Certainly don't need to rearrange your plans. You're the one that's running the kitchen. Treat him like a slave, not like a king. Don't listen to a word he says. Certainly you don't want to praise him, criticize him, and you told him you loved him on your wedding day. You don't need to tell him again. Does he deserve that? Would that make him a better man or a worse man? It's not desserts that has anything to do with it. How would I treat the Lord? Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brothers, you have done it unto me. How many times have I quoted that verse? Somehow I never pictured the Lord in my husband's chair. I've pictured him when I iron the shirt. I think I'm ironing this for Jesus. But the vitality of the crucified life depends on my death. And I have had many letters from women who tell me that when they started submitting to their husbands for the first time in their lives, it changed the whole atmosphere of their home. Reverence. If I insist on living my life, I cannot live Christ's. If I am going to do my thing, I cannot do my husband's thing. If I am going to do my thing, I cannot be the mother that I need to be to my children, or the grandmother that I need to be to my grandchildren. Crucifixion, it covers every area of our lives. It touches us. It cuts deeply. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that is the most incredible mystery of the world, isn't it? Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this aging, dying flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.